Hello, and welcome to the 19th edition of the Razor World Podcast. Hello also to those of you listening on the Blind Cool Tech Podcast. If you're listening to this podcast via the Razor World subscription through Winamp, you just open the applications menu on the show, then go down to Go to Site. If you're listening through Juice, then you right-click on the show, go down to Show Notes, and on the page that opens up, there's a contact link that you can use. For the benefit of you listening on the Blind Cool Tech Podcast, my contact information is rforetjr@bellsouth.net. In this, the 19th edition of the Razor World Podcast, you'll hear me reapplying for food stamps. And also, you'll hear me make some admissions about certain inconsistencies that I am not proud of. In a way, this is the most difficult podcast to do, not technically, but personally. Nevertheless, it's part of my reality, and it has to be heard, for the truth it is. And that is what is coming up right here on the 19th edition of the Razor World Podcast. Thursday, June 8th, 2006, 8:30 a.m. It's 75 degrees Fahrenheit outside. Well, I'm on my way to do yet more damage to my bank account. I anticipate, anyway, making groceries and well, applying for food stamps, first of all. This brings up a rather interesting question. What's it like to be a blind person in my situation? By which I mean, what's it like to be a blind person who is financially poor, without a job, and frankly, without much prospect of getting a job, since the corporate environment is decidedly not for me, and politically conservative. For the benefit of any listeners across the pond, perhaps I shouldn't use the terms liberal or conservative, because we use them differently here in America than the way that you use them. I'll use the terms right and left instead. Because here in America, if you're on the left, you're said to be liberal. Whereas in, I believe at least in the UK and Australia, if you're on the left, you're said to be Labour. But if you're on the right in America, you're said to be conservative. Whereas I believe in the UK and Australia, if you're on the right, you're said to be liberal. So I guess if I were across the pond, I would call myself a liberal, and if I were over in America, I would call myself a conservative. So let's just say right, so-called right or so-called left, because I don't think those apply either. So, back to the question. What's it like being a financially poor blind person who, against his will, requires the aid of the government to live, but who doesn't want that, but who at the same time doesn't have a job and probably won't ever get one because the corporate environment is full of Enron types who are not interested in peons like you and me. They're just interested in their bottom line. What's it like? Well, it's actually very difficult. The glaring inconsistency is something which cannot be ignored. Now, am I really a conservative or right-wing type? I think that I should point out that I differ from many of my fellow right-wingers in two critically important respects. One, I don't adhere to a strictly sink or swim philosophy. I believe then
I believe in helping those who need help. And in encouraging those who can to work. I differ from my fellow right-wingers in another critical respect. I believe that capital punishment is wrong. Being a Roman Catholic myself, I once was in favor of capital punishment. But in 1988, I thought it over and I decided that for the sake of consistency, I'd better choose what I'm for. Either become pro-abortion to support my pro-capital punishment position, or become anti-capital punishment to support my anti-abortion position. Concluding that I wasn't willing to become pro-abortion, I decided to give up my position in favor of capital punishment, and so I became against it. And so that is the long and the short of that. Now, many on the left think of many people on the right as having no compassion. I'm sorry to say that in some cases that's true. Many people on the left are prone to accuse those on the right of not wanting to help the poor, not wanting to help the blind or disabled, not wanting to help those who need help. I'm sorry to say that in many cases that is also true. But it is not universally true, for there are some on the left who are the same way, not wanting to help the poor or disabled or whatever. Many disabled people, and I guess many blind people from what I understand, are more on the left, because for so long we've had to receive from the government aid to live, not always in accordance with our wills. We would have preferred to get jobs, but we can't get jobs because nobody will hire us. And so we are forced, against our will, I guess, to live on off the government. Unfortunately, we've been doing this for so long that the instant our income is jeopardized in any way, we holler for more government funding or more government grants or whatever. This, I fear, becomes too easy a path into a comfort zone. And I will admit, quite frankly, that I'm no less guilty of it than anybody else out there. I'm not trying to say that I'm better than anybody else, because frankly, I don't think so. I'm just saying my point of view is a little different, perhaps, than some others, maybe. You see, we've lived off the government for so long a time that the minute that income is threatened, we want it back. And that's understandable because of another rather unpleasant fact which plays into this. When we do get jobs, we often get jobs at only minimum wage. Unfortunately, that is not a living wage, and so we can't function, we can't make enough money to get off the system, which I'm sure that if we could, we would. But we can't, so we still need a little help, and that's where the inconsistency comes in, if there is inconsistency, and I think there is. So, what makes me different then in my point of view from that of others? What makes my point of view different from that of other blind people who were in the same situation? Well, what makes my point of view different is that, at least according to the way I see it, I question whether it has to be that way. Unfortunately, and here's an inconsistency of my own, I must admit, I'm not in much of a position to do anything about it. So, where does that leave organizations like the National Federation of the Blind and the ACB? Well, I definitely applaud the NFB for doing what it does. Nonetheless, I don't know whether these successful blind people truly have a grasp of what it is to be in my situation. One would think that with an average rate of 70% of working age blind people being unemployed, somebody would try to do something to break the vicious circle that has a way of feeding itself. And yet it seems in all candor like the NFB, with all their public education, as good as they are and as much as they are trying, I frankly sometimes wonder just... I wonder whether or not... sometimes I wonder just whether any true progress is being made, whether they're concentrating perhaps in the right or wrong direction. I really don't know. I've been keeping somewhat of a distance from them anyway, not because of any personal dislikes of any of the members. There's just nothing locally happening in my area, and frankly, I feel a sort of disconnection from the NFB, because I question whether they would truly understand a person in my situation. Peons like you and me don't make much difference in the normal scheme of things. They certainly didn't make any difference at Enron. And it's episodes like the Enron episode that so greatly soured me from the corporate environment that I seriously question whether I will get a job in an office again like I had when I was working at Marriott, selling hotel rooms. What really got me uninvolved with that was the rather harsh realization that struck me one day that the people in the corporate offices couldn't care less about the little people, the non-revenue-generating peons and customer service, who work their butts off and who aren't trusted by either the public or the people with whom they work. The corporate office was concentrating on calls per hour instead of providing good customer service. But after all, we're nothing. We don't even generate revenue. So what about the sales floor? Well, after I was demoted to the sales floor in April of 1999, I could tell that was the end for me, and there was no upward movement. That soured me to the corporate environment pretty thoroughly. And I tried over at Cox Cable, but they wouldn't even hire me. I can't blame Cox Cable for that, though. I think I botched that one. Really rather badly, as a matter of fact. And I really botched it in a frankly stupid way, that if I hadn't done what I did, I might perhaps have gotten the job. But it wasn't meant to be, so it wasn't. So I get back home to Louisiana in 1999, and then, of course, time went by, and then we had this Enron episode. And, of course, further souring the picture is the fact of all the outsourcing that is going on, with all the corporate offices, or most of them anyway, now outsourcing their call center jobs to India or other such places. And I wonder, frankly, if because the thing of it is, back about 6 years ago, or around the time when I was working for Marriott, Rehab said that was the big thing for blind people. Customer service was the next big thing that the blind person was supposed to do. Well, like a fool, I bought into that and allowed myself to be persuaded. I honestly thought it was going to work, and it didn't work. So now we come to my being back in Louisiana. I get on Section 8 housing. Then I apply for and I get on food stamps. And that goes okay for quite a number of years. And then this past Friday, the very day on which I go on the retreat, I discovered that something went wrong with my application for food stamps. So now I have to reapply. And what that means, of course, is that after I reapply for food stamps, I'll have to buy my own groceries. Now, my grocery bill tends to run about $80 to $100, and according to my calculations, after I finished paying off my bills, my rent, I'll have about $192 left in the bank, and with a grocery bill like mine is, I'll be lucky if I don't overdraw this month. And so, having said all that and having given all that detail, what is my perspective, being on the right politically and all that? Well, I'll tell you what my perspective is. My perspective is that it is not the best life to lead and that it should be better. I'm not wired to work in the corporate environment, of course. My primary interests lie in audio work and stuff like that. So, that means it's impossible, or it's probably going to be impossible for me to get a job in the home area or anywhere else in the country. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not cut out for doing things the way most people do them, which makes me perhaps even more inconsistent than most. I will admit that it probably does, because after all, I'm not living in accordance with what I say I believe in that respect. And yes, I will frankly admit that that does make me more inconsistent than the rest, and I hate inconsistency, especially my own, which is why I try not to think about it too often, because it's so unnerving.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Office of Family Support. I'm Ms. Kite.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Hello.
Minor problem, but it's a major deal. We didn't receive the one page that had a signature on it.
And we didn't receive it.
The whole application that was sent, that one page needed to be turned in with all of it, and she resent it.
She sent it to his address instead of mine, though, because I usually get his mail at my address.
Well, whatever address we had as the mailing address.
She said she sent it to his address, and he didn't know.
I can see where that's a problem.
You know, that's odd, because the first one did get sent to the right address.
It is odd, but she hand-mailed it because it's such a mess. The application must have only had the Euclid Street address on it. It must not have had the American Boulevard
address. Well, I got all his papers.
Yes, ma'am, but if you don't put it, see, they put the mailing address as 3613 Euclid Street.
Oh.
They didn't put the other address as the mailing address.
Okay.
It's not even listed on here. So she sent it to what she thought was the correct address.
Because when I got all the papers, it was sent to
the first one was sent to you because that's what we had on the system. When she received the application,
okay,
then she saw the change and she enacted that change.
So evidently, I didn't fill out the mailing address section.
You didn't fill it out with the mailing address, it's your address,
as
resident address,
right?
Is his. So that's where our problem came.
And now there's no way of correcting it.
No, it could be corrected, but I mean, it would have saved you a lot of trouble if we would have had the correct information.
Oh, well.
To get this stuff straightened out the first time. That you wouldn't have to be in here visiting me. Not mine, but you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
I went the other day to get some diet pills. I weighed 160.
Now, I know your situation a little bit by looking up.
It's a personal thing. He said no. He said yeah.
You're on SSI and Social Security Disability.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
He said because it's women.
All I'm doing is filling out the application.
Yeah.
So once we get everything straightened out, I'll go ahead and certify for 2 years. But for that, you know, you're going to have to be careful that you know when the paperwork comes in, it gets done.
Well, hopefully in 2 years I won't need this anymore.
Well, I
that's always hope, but it's not a realistic probability because the because
this is changing anytime soon.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like it to change, but I don't think it's going to.
What's your home telephone number?
985-853-0139.
And this is your mother, I take it, this week?
Yes.
Okay, we'll put your number as a contact number. What's your phone number?
985-223-1361.
You know, and if you're taking the factors and all that, you don't need that. This change is a way of life. It is. It's a way of life. Like I told him, I said, I wish I did this back in my 20s, so it would have been. But it's just happened now.
You was heavy in your 20s?
Not really heavy.
And you've never been married before, Mr. Foray?
No.
The last grade you completed in school?
12. If you mean high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you receive any kind of rent subsidy, any help paying your rent?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Section 8.
And would you like to be the authorized representative?
Yes.
Okay. And your name is?
Carolyn Foray.
He sent him an appointment. He missed it. They sent him a card in the mail.
Okay, that's fine.
As long as he has one, he has one. Yeah, I can go ahead and send it to that card. That's fine. Okay, the address is 105 Brad Drive. Correct. Louisiana 7363. See, I haven't talked to him since January. Like I said, I was working.
You live totally by yourself, Mr. Foray?
Yep, totally. Perhaps I should indicate that's Raymond Foray Jr. for the paperwork because there's my father and me. He's senior and I'm junior. Because a lot of these businesses, they don't.
Exactly.
Some of the ones I deal with, anyway. They.
You have a very common name as far as this area goes.
Yeah, apparently.
So it kind of gets to be a problem.
And then my husband, he gets it also.
I'm just sitting here filling out your application. Pretty much most of the questions I'm expecting knows.
Okay.
I don't expect you to be a fleeing felon in violation of your probation.
Well, I hope not anyway. Last time I checked anyhow.
What is your disability referred? I know that obviously that you have a
that's it, blind.
Blindness.
Okay. I just want to make sure that it's nothing else that I'm not
that's
seeing.
Right.
The obvious is the only thing.
The boy did so bad at school, they put him out, and he's a fifth grader, he's skipping the stuff. I said, well, skip him tonight, and he's going out to school completely.
Are you attending any kind of schooling or anything?
No.
So at least it would help you kill time for
yeah.
It's quite busy.
Try to save a little money, which without this would be impossible.
All right. Yeah, are you checking the savings account or just
understand that, but you know.
Yeah.
I want to say there might be some programs that could help you to, you know, kind of maybe take some courses or something that would interest you that would wouldn't cost. That would be a thought.
Well, it would be. You might want to, I don't know if you could email me stuff that you find.
Well, I don't have anything at the moment to say. I'm just, I know Nichols offers courses, and they're not, I think there's even programs that would help you pay for it that wouldn't put out of pocket for your
situation. Oh, yeah, right. Nobody will give me a loan. I can't even get a loan from my bank. I went and tried to get a loan. Their minimum is $1,500. They wouldn't let me have it. And if I can't get a loan from my bank, it's hopeless. Because nobody will give me a loan.
But this is not, that's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about a loan. I'm talking about like a grant.
That's
right. That, you know,
for college.
For courses that may help you out.
That would be cool, yeah.
Yeah.
They have quite a few programs that would be beneficial.
He stays quite busy, though, on the computer.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to go too far by itself.
That's it.
Unfortunate. So, what is the apartment complex you live at?
It's called Hampton, actually. Hampton Apartments. I didn't either until I asked Teresa one day for some reason that I forgot.
And how much is your rent?
My portion of it or the whole thing?
Your portion.
$118.
And you're responsible for paying the electric bill too?
Yep. That, thank God, is fairly low.
And how much is that one?
I'm going to say 55 average, but actually, well, you know, fluctuates.
Of course.
Well, it's Sleeka, so of course it's only 55.
I wouldn't say of course, but you know. And that's the only utility bill you pay, so like the
Yes. Yeah. She pays water, garbage, and so on.
Okay. That's pretty much your rent.
So yeah.
The margin trail, he pays telephone and cable as well.
Yep. And this one is a Latin, right? How much is the phone bill?
It averages around I'm gonna say 114, but that covers phone and the internet.
Yeah.
DSL.
With Bell South?
Yep.
Not for a Latin note. I mean, if we'll be able to
tell with
the
cable.
The satellite's about the 60, I'm going to say
$65.99.
And if I had the same thing on cable, it would actually be much more expensive.
Okay. In direct TV.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know how that
and
is.
Like I said, when I was working, I didn't need.
Are you putting out any money for any medical expenses?
No meds, no.
Thank God he's healthy.
Okay, what about doctor bills, hospital bills, anything like that?
Nope.
Do you go to the doctor very often?
Nope.
I don't even have a doctor. I probably should, but I don't.
It's good in one sense. And
yeah.
And it's bad in another sense, because what if something happens?
Well, we'll bring it to the emergency.
You do have to go.
Somebody will see.
Actually, they have that emergency care center.
Yeah, urgent care
over there on the, well, no, I was thinking over there on off of Martin Luther King behind Walmart. They built an emergency care center.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, it's like going to the doctor, but not going.
That's
to,
like
know.
At urgent care.
Yeah,
it's the same thing.
Yeah, this is something like you won't have to go through the emergency room, because it may not be an emergency. Why pay that extra money for that privilege of going through there? Whereas this here, it's like going to a doctor. They charge you like going to a doctor, even if it's after hours, because they have their after hours clinic. That's what I'm advising most of my parents with young children who have a habit of bringing their kids to the emergency room.
Yeah.
Bring them there.
Who don't otherwise have a PCP. As they call them nowadays.
That's it. Okay, you have a bank account?
Yep.
Okay, is it checking or savings?
Checking.
And,
that's much easier too.
How much do you think you have left in there?
I checked it. It's approximately 410 at this moment.
And what bank is that with?
Whitney National.
No, he was staying with his brother on Rosemont. Now he said he would come and,
And that's the only account that your name appears on?
Yep.
The bills are more than, the bills are almost what the check is.
Right.
I haven't been on food stamps because when I started working good, I didn't want to do it anymore. I just need help while I'm there.
Okay. How often do you plan to come back home?
It all depends because, see, I have a half-brother, but he left. He's not even around, and that's only, we're the only two she's got, so I really
Mr. Corey, is it possible to get you to sign your name
with sure.
you?
Let me help him.
Okay. Here.
Well, they gave me 3 months. Okay. Because it is, they have a thing where if you have to take off and take them out, we just had that this year. So, he told me my job would be waiting because.
Okay. And let me just explain to you this. I'll let you know what that means.
You still have your card from before, correct?
Yep.
Do you have your recent rent receipt and utility bills with you?
Yeah.
She's got something with her.
I have his statement of earnings. I have his bank statement. Usually all his bills are on there.
Yes, ma'am.
Would that work?
No, but no. I think she needs the actual hard copy.
Like the actual bill with the name and address of the receipt. I understand what you're trying to tell me, but I'm
Because he pays all his bills through the bank, so they're all on his statement. No, I don't have the utility bill.
All right.
But you just needed something with his address?
Well, I need the rent receipt to verify his portion of the rent that he pays, and I need the utility bill to verify he lives there.
Okay, so.
All right.
It's very simple.
I can call. I guess he has the
email. And you probably have that sitting at home. The only problem with Sleek is because Sleek used to postcard bills.
Yeah, I still get them.
If you pay the bill, you usually give them the half that has your name and address on it.
Yeah.
That's the half I need to see.
Well, see, the bill's debited out of my account automatically.
Oh, so you got it all the time.
Yeah.
You should have that at home, so it shouldn't be too much of a problem to.
If I still have it.
Don't tell me you throw it away.
Once it's paid, you think it's no good.
When did you receive your last bill?
I may be about due to receive one. If I don't have those at home, then I suppose I could acquisition them if I have to.
Would a paper from Sleek work just as well?
Yes, ma'am, it would. A printout from them, with his name and address on it would be just as good as the deal, if not better.
Okay, so did you order a new one?
Yes.
You ordered one, so you don't need
Okay.
But you got a card from him. But you've got it. Okay, all right. Okay, so it's coming. Hey, you haven't got it yet in the mail?
Okay. Ever been suspended from your food stamp by
Cancer
Care Social Care Program?
Okay, I need to know how much gross income you're going to be having come in this month. Any source?
Okay.
You will for them to be your responsibility. Okay, all right. Okay, so do you have any cash on hand or money?
Okay, Ms. Ford, since we put you as authorized rep, I can let you sign this paperwork, which would be a lot easier on you. Not that I'm trying to get you out of the loop, Mr. Foray, but just to make it easier. I need you to sign right here and date it there for me. This is basically stating we had an interview today and what we spoke about. Eight. We got past the six, which is terrible. I'm going to be asking for a current rent receipt and electric bill. Like I said, you can get the printout. That's fine, too. I'm just going to make copies of that information. And I'm going to give it to you after. And my name and all is on there. Pardon? My name and all is going to be on there.
Oh, okay.
So how much do you think you're spending on groceries with cash money?
With the food card or without?
After it's gone. Like after you finish paying for everything else, how much do you think you spend on food?
The bill's always about 100, 110.
Yeah, around there, yeah.
And that's not what he gets in between. That's just when we make his first grocery bill at the beginning.
And that's with the cleaning supplies and soap and shampoo and stuff like that that you need? That's all included with that bill?
Sure. Yeah.
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 Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it goes to about 130. It depends, you know,
yeah,
with those dry goods. That's
always the case.
Yeah.
Any life or burial insurance that you're paying for at this time?
No.
No.
And you've already told me you don't have any layaways or charge accounts or anything.
Nope.
That's not even a question. Okay. Let me go and make copies of my information. The letter real quick, and I'm gonna be right back.
I suppose that if I went by my landladies and got a similar printout statement from
that would be fine
her,
too.
And could I bring it back to you today, or, well, let's see, what time is it now? This stops at 11:30, and it is already 10:06, so.
Well, you can bring it back at any time, Mr. Foray. That's not a problem.
Okay.
Okay.
We just stopped taking applications at 11:30. That doesn't necessarily mean we close the office.
Yeah, that's curious. Now, why is that?
Why we stopped taking applications at 11:30?
Yeah.
We have to have a cutoff point so that we're able to sit at our desk and complete your cases after.
Okay.
If we have people coming in at all hours of the day.
And not Wednesdays?
The Wednesdays is the only day we don't do applications, new applications.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm only here 4 days a week.
Oh, that's kind of like a catch-up day.
That's the day that I have to work on those cases that I couldn't do the day before, the day before, the day before.
Oh.
Let me make a copy. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want the receipt for the insurance?
I didn't get a receipt for your rent this month.
Ah.
I have to call Teresa and ask them for one.
Wouldn't it be faster if we just physically went there?
Not really. I can pick it up any time.
Basically everything that's included with the home, like the rent, I assume they can't do anything until.
Yes, they can. She has the information.
Sooner I get the information, sooner I'm the way we work on the case. If you can get it to me in the early part of this afternoon, I probably could get it done by this afternoon.
Okay.
So your benefits would be on your card tomorrow.
Okay.
Other than that, it won't be before next week. Before
okay.
I can even
we can work on that
yeah.
when we leave here.
Okay. So I guess. Okay.
Okay, so I need the rent and I need his
utility. His electric.
Yeah.
Yeah. There shouldn't be a problem with that.
No.
Nah.
And I know it's kind of basic, but it's just those things that we have to verify before we can do it. We need to.
And
do.
I should put this back.
You don't have to use the envelope if you're bringing it back today.
I'm going
to
bring it back.
Okay. I would advise keeping the envelope for down the road when we do send you paperwork. We may not have an envelope, and then
okay.
we'll have one.
That'd be good.
Like I said, once everything's situated, it will be certified for 2 years.
Okay.
In 1 year, you would get a letter basically asking if you have any medical expenses. If you don't have any medical expenses, you don't have to respond.
Okay.
You're supposed to report any changes in your circumstances. If you have $50 more of income or $100 more of resources than you have at this time, Your bank account fluctuates. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Social Security automatically updates the records every January. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
It's like if you have some other type of income. You start a business on your own. And you can do that.
Yeah.
That would be something I would think about. Other than that, you know, you only have to look out for about 2 years. It'll be before you get your application. As long as we get that finished right, we won't have a problem.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to give you this back. This was attached to the application. It has rights, responsibilities, and information of who to contact. You felt like you had a problem with discrimination. And I'll make sure I'm going to put an alert in front of the case to make sure they don't change that mailing address again.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Well, that's it, folks. That is the 19th edition of the Ray's World podcast. And I do have something planned for the next podcast. You may recall a costly cast that I did back on edition number 17, where I, well, made a disaster out of a brand new pair of church audio microphones trying to do a bath cast. Well, in the next podcast that you're going to get from me, this time, believe it or not, it actually went successfully. The first actual bath cast that I did, and this time I used the Sony ECMDS-70P. But, well, more about that in the next podcast. Until then, this is Ray. If you want to contact me, my contact information is RFORETJR@BELLSOUTH.NET. And with that, and the other frank admissions out of the way, thanks for joining me on this edition of the Ray's World podcast and also for BCT. God bless, and thank you for listening.